We're going to read once again from the second chapter of Luke this morning. We're going to begin to read with verse 21, continuing there the account of the birth of Christ. Again, the Word of God, Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 21. And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given to by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and that this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at these things which are spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to God and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Thus far, the reading of God's most holy word. We will be considering particularly, there's a lot in this passage, the words of Simeon as a testimony by Simeon and Anna concerning the birth of Christ. So there is, in fact, in reality, yet one more thought about this account concerning the birth of Christ. Luke, of course, has recorded for us this very well-known story. We looked at part of it yesterday, and we are continuing with it today. Luke tells us all the things which came together in terms of God's purpose in his eternal planning for the birth of his son. It involves the Roman government. It involves angels and shepherds. And of course, Joseph and Mary and the Christ child. But there is yet one more chapter, one more set of characters that are important in this story. They are Simeon and Anna. And they are important dealing once again with the revelation, God's word planned in eternity told to Adam and Eve, revealed throughout the Old Covenant, and now fulfilled in Christ. The emphasis, which we have noted, if you will remember several weeks ago, you looked with me at Exodus chapter 2, where God remembers his covenant with the children of Israel. Yesterday we noted the actual fulfilling of that. Today we are going to note a testimony to the faithfulness of God specifically. It is the salvation planned in eternity, announced in history, delivered on a particular day, exactly as God said he would. He is faithful. So the birth of Christ as the Savior of the world is really an account about the plan of salvation, God's plan of salvation. As I just said, planned in eternity, revealed in history. Obviously, God had a very specific purpose for Simeon and Anna in all of this. We are told specifically that the Holy Spirit was upon Simeon. He daily continued, or that he continued in the temple, and that Anna was very special, that she was a very elderly person beyond the normal age, and that she spent her days, every day, in the temple praying. Again, a very special use for her. Again, this message which Simeon and Anna are testifying to is the first message of hope that Adam and Eve heard when they were dead in sin and knew that they were dead in sin. And they knew that there would be life because Christ promised the seed, a son. It is uniquely spelled out with Abraham when God called him out unto himself into a strange land. It is physically experienced from the exodus of Egypt and entering into the promised land. And in spite of all the turning away from God, through all of that history of the children of Israel, again and again, when God comes back and saves them and brings them and restores them, even ultimately bringing them back from the captivity in Babylon. So there is this history of waiting, of history of being asked to trust in God. And yet, from generation to generation, not actually seeing the reality of that promise. Well, Simeon and Anna, faithful covenant people of God, they get to see it. They get to see what was waited for and hoped for generations. They are the testimony to the fact that what is happening in the birth of Christ is not just an event that all of a sudden took place. It is the fulfillment of centuries and generations and promises, one fulfilled promise carried out in many different ways, that God would send a Savior. It is a testimony to his faithfulness. So the first thing that we see here this morning is that the salvation that was hoped for is now realized. It took place. God actually did what he said he would do. You know, for Simeon, it had been revealed that his faith would be one in which it would not just be, as always before, a hope. But for Simeon, in God's purpose, that he someday would see it with his eyes. That waiting has been completed. Again, Simeon and Anna are used by God to a very specific testimony of the faithfulness of God. Not that they showed that they somehow deserved some special privilege, though it was very special for them to be able to see the baby brought to fulfill what was required at the time. You know, whenever the scripture tells of someone, as it does of Simeon particularly here, but I think by extension we can conclude Anna, but wherever the scripture speaks of someone as being just and devout, what that is really saying is that God had instilled in them a faith. This is the testimony again to the greatness of God. God is the one who has made them and brought them to a state of being just and devout. God uses Simeon and Anna to in fact testify to that very thing. You know, the prophet Isaiah of old prophesied, "Comfort, comfort you, my people." Simeon says, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace." That's the comfort prophesied by Isaiah that Simeon, holding the child in his arms, says, "I can now go to God in peace." That word peace, particularly in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew, has with it a very powerful connotation. That all of the issues, all of the problems, all of the things that would cause you to be concerned about your relationship with God, God says, they're gone. We are at peace. There's nothing between us. Christ has come so that all of that sinfulness and rebellion is taken care of, and that we are changed, that we all might become devout people of God. Simeon now says, "I can die with that hope, that peace actually realized." We looked, as I said a couple of weeks ago in Exodus chapter 2, that God had heard the groaning of the Israelites and the slaves, and remembered his covenant. That was an outward demonstration when he remembered his covenant and brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. The reality is what Simeon is holding in his arms. It is the promise which God does not bring relief from slavery, but actually peace with God. In Hebrews, the 11th chapter, that great chapter of faith, we read in verse 13 about all the faithful who, though they had themselves not even realized the land of Israel, the land of promise, and yet they had hope because they looked for a greater promise. That's what Simeon is holding in his arms. And you might say, okay, that's great. Christ wasn't just born. It is the eternal plan. It is by a faithful God. So what? Isn't the only really important thing that I believe that Christ child that was born is my Savior? Well, of course it is. You do need to. I call on all of you. If there's any who have not, please look to Christ for your salvation. But what this Savior, when this Savior doesn't seem to be all that you want him to be, when in the midst of life as we are all struggling with in one way or another, and when the world laughs at your faith, when you look at yourselves and you wonder, is it real within me? How can I really trust? Remember the testimony of Simeon and Anna. God is faithful. And the salvation he promised is real. You can count on that. Specifically, Simeon speaks of a salvation which has been prepared. Just very briefly on that point. But the sovereign God in eternity, before the foundation of the world, planned this salvation down to its detail. The God who has always been and always will be, who knows all things, who knows your struggle, who knows what you are going through with. It is nothing new to him. The salvation that is prepared has been prepared for you, his people. In the world in which we live, in which everything is now faster and faster and newer, and it becomes new and faster every time, in which everyone desires his own things, salvation has been perfectly prepared for by God in eternity. It is not some new thing with a particular response. Think of the words of the Apostle Paul. Let me read those from Ephesians, the first chapter of Ephesians, verses 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. It is the plan according to God's good pleasure. God does not respond to man. God plans for man. The implication is God does not say to you, well, if you just do all the right things, if you just become exactly the right person that you ought to be, then I will be your God. No, because none of us could ever meet that requirement. Jesus has, as Christ announced to the shepherd, so he is to you. In spite of all that man may think or do, or try to destroy, his plan is from eternity. And remember, Jesus said in John that all those who have been given to me, I will not lose one. When God called Abraham and showed his grace and blessing, he also made it clear that his word was not just for Abraham, but all the nations will be blessed. The purpose for which was prepared in eternity, delivered into birth, is that in this world of darkness, there would be a light which will be penetrate. Simeon rejoices that Christ that he is holding is the light to the Gentiles. That means that all those who are in darkness, all those who are in unbelief, Christ is the light by which, as God has perfectly planned, for those whom he has perfectly planned, will open their eyes and they will see. This account is a testimony to the faith, of course, of Simeon and Anna. This was very personal for them. It was very real for them. They had hoped with an extra sense of hope. It is clear that God was very much involved in the expression of their faith. But notice their emphasis is not about their own salvation, but rather on the revelation of God. Yes, Simeon himself says, now I can depart in peace. But his message is that in terms of the glory of Israel. It is Israel, the people of God, to whom the plan of salvation has been promised and prepared and delivered. Not ethnic Israel, though they are the vehicle that God used, but ultimately the community, the church, if you will, of God's people. The eternal plan of salvation, as Simeon had hoped for and now has seen, is about a community, a people of God, God's covenant promises to his people. Even though Simeon mentions his own faith in terms of his peace, but the greatness, the rejoicing, is not first about, look what I have found. Not just about me in Christ and my understanding as I have found his word. It is a very common message today, a very common thought today, that it's just about me and Christ and what Christ means to me. And now I have found my own way to Christ. And then, if even at all, the church becomes secondary to all of that. That's not what Simeon testifies to at all. It is precisely because even as Simeon testified that this is about the glory of God's people, that God has restored unto himself in the birth of his Son a covenant community which has the blessings of the covenant promises made, which is why we had people come forward this morning and state in front of a covenant community their faith in Jesus Christ, that we all together can uplift one another. It's why we have claimed the promise of the covenant for an infant child of believing parents, that we can claim the blessings of that promise, not just individually, but in the community of God's people. And we have asked parents to take seriously their vows to use the church and all of its parts with it. Yes, in their own home, to lead that child to know Jesus, but through the tools available, the means available in the church of Jesus Christ. That we recognize that the family of believers are part of the people of God, that the blessings, the promises which are remembered and seen here in Christ are the promises that believing parents can claim for their child. We do not gain in standing with Christ by joining the church. Of course not. But we do gain in our life of blessing because of Christ by being formerly a part of God's people and participating in the blessings, the glory by being active in the church. Simeon and Anna were specifically connected to God by means of the temple. That's where they went to pray and waiting for the coming of Christ. You and I and our children have access to God. Even as, if I may repeat it, as we noted yesterday, the shepherds went to see Jesus. We also see Jesus in the worship of God's people gathered publicly together in the preaching of the Word of God. It is the means for God's people through the church. Once again, as we move forward with the story of the birth, how will you move forward from the birth of Christ? The story of Christ is about the faithfulness of God. Even as he prepared the great people of faith to give testimony, he has prepared you to receive the glory of Christ, to know the salvation prepared, and to be glorified in that God is glorified in his people. Let us pray together. Our God and Father, we thank you. What an unbelievable gift. What a gift which is new each day. What a gift which is real each day. What a gift which we have seen even as Simeon and Anna have seen it. And what a gift which we live and experience in our life and in our worship in the community of God's people. The gift of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who has taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.